Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
There's nothing better for a cold, wintry day than curling up with a blanket and a good book. And I think that's exactly what you'll experience in today's podcast. This is Courtney Kibblewhite. I got to interview Russell Rowland, who's a Montana author. He's written a number of books, including In Open Spaces, 56 Counties. And just this month, he has released a memoir called Be a Man, Raised in the Shadow of Cowboys. This show we recorded today, it was a treat to hear about Russell's experiences growing up in Montana, about some of the stories he learned and told on his 56 county tour across Montana. And really, all of his books are set and related to the Montana mystique, which isn't a mystique for him because Russell's from Montana. Thank you so much for tuning in to Voices of Montana on your local radio station and for listening on this podcast. Hope you enjoy the show. I'm kind of excited about this show today. I have to be honest. One of my good friends from Helena, Sarah Groves, turned me on to Russell's new book, which is related to cowboy culture and some of the rural mental health initiatives that I've been working on. So that's kind of exciting. But I'll just say I'm admittedly a kind of a book nerd. I love to read. Love to have multiple books going on at once. And getting a chance to sit down and talk with an author is a pretty good day for me. I've got a hot cup of coffee. I do have to say, before we jump into talking to Russell Rowland, who's in studio with me this morning, I just want to thank everyone out there who's shoveling snow. Gosh, every time I see a snowplow, I wish there was some way we could signal to those people, you know, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. We've got our neighbors here at the office just shoveling snow away. I had my kids out there yesterday. And man, there's many people trying to keep us safe. So thank you to them. But I'll welcome this morning Russell Rowland, a Montana native. How are you doing today, Russell?
Great. It's great. Good to be here. And thank you so much for inviting me to be part of your show.
Yes. Well, thank you for being willing to share your talents with Montana here. And Russell's written many books, including, I've got a few in front of me here, 56 Counties, In Open Spaces. You've wrote both fiction and nonfiction. Russell, where did your journey as an author start?
Well, when I was in my 20s, I kind of became a book person. I hadn't really been a big reader before that. But yeah, in my 20s, I started reading a lot. And I'm not really sure where the bug came from, but I just got this urge to start writing. And I became pretty obsessed with it. So yeah, I went to graduate school for creative writing out in Boston and wrote my first novel, wrote In Open Spaces while I was there, and just went from there.
And what year was In Open Spaces published then?
Well, it came out in 2002, but I was in grad school in 1990, 91. So it took a long time to get it published. It's kind of a common story among the book world that getting published the first time is pretty tough. So right. Yeah, it was a long journey.
Wow. Well, and one thing I've noticed, and I have to be honest, I've been digging into to Russell's books over the weekend, but there's a strong thread of Montana in the setting, in the themes. Did you always know you were going to write about Montana, or is that just,
well,
why?
That's a good story, actually. So when I went to grad school, I was thinking I was going to be this literary genius that wrote about the rest of the world, just whatever came into my head. And, you know, I was pounding out these stories that were kind of copies of other authors that I admired. But, yeah, one day in grad school, I ended up writing a story about my grandfather, who was a rancher in southeastern Montana. And it just felt different, you know. It felt like, okay, I know these people. I know this place. And it was kind of a funny story. He was a notoriously bad driver.
Okay.
And he borrowed a flatbed truck from one of his neighbors one day. And he was, as he was backing out of their driveway, he backed over two of their sheep and then knocked the mailbox over and didn't realize it. So he drove off.
Oh my gosh.
These two dead sheep.
Wow.
And so, of course, when he returned the truck, the neighbor was very chilly, mm-hmm. and he didn't know why. And, you know, it was one of those typical Montana stories where the guy didn't say anything for, I don't know, months or maybe even years. Who knows? But
to him, I'm sure he.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. But eventually, Grandpa got wind of it. And, of course, he felt horrible. But, yeah.
And so where was your family's ranch then?
It was near Alzada.
Alzada. Okay. Yeah. All right. Wow. And so
it's still in the family, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Who, a cousin
my
or?
My aunt, okay. My mom's youngest brother died about 5 years ago. And so his wife owns it now.
Okay. So what's the family name there?
Arbuckle.
Arbuckle. Okay.
Yeah. It's wow. Scottish name.
Is it? Okay. And is that brand that's was it in Open Spaces?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that the real ranch brand?
It's the real brand, yeah. Okay. It's an R and a buckle.
So okay.
It was kind of creative.
That is. Wow. Okay. Well, so in your genesis then, growing up, what were the, were there Montana books or Western books that particularly inspired you or built kind of a fire in you?
Yeah, for sure. I became an Ivan Doig fan pretty early on.
Sure.
And it was funny because... when I met him, I was about to get my first book published, and my publisher said I needed to get some blurbs for the back of the book, you know. And I didn't know any writers, so they said, well, just, you know, you're living in San Francisco, just go to some readings and introduce yourself to people. And I saw that he was coming to do a reading, so I told my mom about it because she's a big fan. She says, oh, well, make sure you tell him that he... used to work for my cousin.
Oh.
He was a ranch hand for my mom's cousin.
Oh, really?
And she said, she said he was the worst ranch hand they ever had because he was always reading.
Oh, that's funny.
So yeah, I didn't mention that part, but yeah.
Well, just fast forward into the future and he could be reading his books on Audible and it'd been
right.
a totally different
exactly,
career.
Yeah. He could have been a little more focused on his work.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I was thinking about the Montana authors and people that have inspired me. And, you know, I've got a 7-year-old daughter right now, Nia, and we are actively reading through the Little House on the Prairie series.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that even the themes that are taken through that book of, you know, whether it's the relationships with Indians or, even the amount of times that the parents say to little Laura, you know, don't cry or we don't cry or, you know, some of these cultural elements that, you know, that's over 100 years ago. And and those are in these great, great books. But were there other books growing up that you loved?
I'm trying to think. When I started doing the novel that takes place in Montana, I dove into the history more. Mm-hmm. So I was reading a lot of the nonfiction books, and there's a professor out of Missoula named K. Ross Toole that's kind of a legend. He wrote some amazing books about the history of Montana. So I became pretty enamored with his stuff. And of course, later, when I moved back here, I discovered a lot of Montana authors that I didn't really know about, like A.B. Guthrie, who wrote several books that were made into films, and Dorothy Johnson, who was an early pioneer in the women's writing women's fiction in Montana. She had a couple of her books made into films too, The Hanging Tree, and I can't think of the other one, but yeah, we have a pretty rich history here of literature.
Right. And interesting to see the play between some of the books and film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I have pretty strong feelings about that because
I'd love to hear.
So one of the things that I love about that history is that a lot of these people that the early Westerns were based on, a lot of the writers were actually from here. You know, they grew up here and lived the life. So the stories had this real authentic feel to them. Mm-hmm. And now we've got Yellowstone and various other knockoffs from that are written by people who have no connection to this area. And it shows.
Right.
You know, I think it's, you know, they're obviously good storytellers because they've hooked a lot of people into the story. But I think anybody from Montana that watches those shows knows that it doesn't reflect Montana in a realistic way.
So did you grow up watching the John Wayne Gunsmoke?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. It formed a lot of who I am. And I talk about that a lot in the new book about the mixed messages we got growing up about what it means to be a man.
Right. And, you know, interesting, too, because so much of the stories and the drama in those books was around gunfights and this massive conflict. And then one thing I found interesting in your book, 56 Counties, you go back to some of the true history of Montana and the real reasons why people came. And it's that level of conflict isn't necessarily there's some very poignant examples, but it's not like everyone was running around shooting each other or branding each other, or, you know, what ends up in the films.
Right. Yeah. I think generally speaking, most people don't want to get involved in gunfights.
Right.
And that's probably been true from the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you a funny story. My husband is from Wales. And when his mother first came out, we took her out to Ingomar when they first came to the U.S., which, you know, is a little ways from our ranch. And we always do, or used to do, kind of a nut fry at the end of branding season. And we took her out there, and she's this teeny little British woman, and she sees my brother Travis, who's just tall and handsome and wearing a cowboy hat. And she was silent the entire time. And, you know, I'm trying to please my new mother-in-law, and I'm like, Julie, what's wrong? Are you okay? And she said, Well, I didn't think these cowboys were real. I just thought they were in the films. and you know, she genuinely really thought that it was that cowboys, Western culture, was just something that was made up in Hollywood you know, sold around the world, which, you know, to us is just crazy. But, you know, that is something that other people think about. So let's talk a little bit, I guess, more about in open spaces and that being one of your first novels. You were mentioning to me earlier that does tie in some themes in Western culture and themes of your family. Talk more about that. For you don't want to give any spoilers, but want to tease enough for people who might be interested.
So In Open Spaces is based very loosely on my mother's family history. The ranch was homesteaded in the late 19th century. So it's been around for over 100 years. And, it was a typical story at the time. George Arbuckle came north with one of the Texas cattle drives, and he homesteaded there and managed to put together a pretty substantial piece of property thanks to his family members filing claims and neighbors going out of business. And so by the time my grandfather came along, there was four brothers and three sisters. And of course, in those days, the sisters weren't part of the inheritance, which is kind of a crime in itself. But so this book is essentially focuses on the very typical dynamic among ranch families of who's going to take over the ranch, you know, the competition and the some of the interesting dynamics that happen between brothers who maybe don't get along real well. My grandfather and his brother ran the ranch together for years. They lived 50 yards apart and they barely spoke.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The elements of communication that can take place or not take place.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Things spoken and unspoken.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that book that we're talking about is called In Open Spaces by Russell Rowland, and it is a fictional novel, but as Russell says, loosely based on some of his family generational history. So if you're going through that situation and would like some comfort in someone else's situation, then certainly check out In Open Spaces. We're going to go ahead and take a break, but when we get back, we are going to delve into Russell's new book that's coming out here shortly. So that will be more to come today on Voices of Montana. Good morning, friends, and welcome back to Voices of Montana. This is your guest host today, Courtney Kibblewhite. This is my last day. Tom will be back tomorrow, so if you're getting tired of me, don't worry. I won't be here for long. But no, I've been glad to get to spend a couple mornings with you, and glad to get to have get to meet a new friend along the way, in Russell Rowland. And Russell, I teased before the show or before the break here that you've got a new book coming out. Tell us about the book.
Yeah. Well, it's actually out.
So okay.
It came out last week. Yeah. And it's called Be a Man. And the subtitle is Raised in the Shadow of Cowboys. So it essentially is my story and my family story, but it's a little more than that. It focuses specifically on the challenges of growing up as a man in the West, and specifically in Montana. You know, I had my issues with drinking and anger management when I was a young guy. So I've done a lot of therapy through the years and also lived in a lot of different places. So it was kind of good for me to get that experience of seeing Montana from a distance, mm-hmm. and getting more of a perspective about what it was like to grow up here and how people deal with especially mental health issues here. I had a hard time talking about anything, just like most of the people in my family. So I grew up in a very typical Montana household where we just didn't talk about stuff, you know. And I had to get a lot of help through the years to deal with that. And I think it's an important issue.
Is Be a Man, is it a memoir of your life then? Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Me and my family, goes back to some of the early, like there's a good story of one of my uncles, or one of my mother's uncles. He and his wife were heavy drinkers, and they got into a big fight one night in the middle of a blizzard. So she stormed out of the house and ended up freezing to death out. And, you know, the stories like that are fairly
typical. This woman's froze to death.
She couldn't find her way back to the house. Yeah. So she froze to death like 50 yards from the house.
And, oh my gosh.
You know, I think stuff like that happened a lot in those days when there was, you know, you're cooped up with the family, no phones, no transportation of any consequence. So, yeah, I think we have a long legacy of people burying their feelings and not quite knowing how to deal with conflict.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the alcohol part too, you mentioned, is so, I don't know. I feel really conflicted about it, to be honest, because that's something that's been a struggle in our family. Mm. I remember my dad talking about my grandmother going to Rimrock Foundation, and I went there for eating disorders when I was 22 years old, and had never ever heard that story before. And I thought, how am I just hearing this, right?
Right, yeah.
Because I thought I was such a, you know, pariah for my situation. And because alcohol is it's interesting because in a lot of our small towns, we'll have a bar, or bar, restaurant, you know, maybe post office in one, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so in a sense, alcohol can bring us together, or, you know, sharing a drink, breaking bread.
Right.
But then at the same time, it can also drown us.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned before the people that first came here. I think there was a lot of people that moved here in the early days. There was a lot of deserters from the military. Hmm. There was a lot of Confederate soldiers who were sort of, you know, outcasts in the community where they lived. There was a lot of people that were sent out here by their families because they were misbehaving, you know. So I think we have sort of a long legacy of people with mental health issues that started the whole cycle
pool.
Here. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's not unusual, I think, in Montana families to have issues like that. And of course, there's a huge stigma about getting help for it.
Right. Well, and how much, I mean, there's also, you just think about the university setting and it's fun to talk about, well, yeah, I'm excited to have a drink. And so who are you if you remove yourself from
right.
What do you belong to if you're not a part of that culture? Mm-hmm. That's something that I've wrestled with. Even I think about giving up alcohol for Lent because I feel like I enjoy a glass of wine a little too often sometimes. But, you know, then you think, well, am I all these events that I might go to and be, you know, less a part of something.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I quit drinking when I was in my 20s, and it was very uncomfortable because the group that I hung out with, that was everything was pretty much centered around drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a challenge.
Well, and the interesting thing you said in your subtitle that the book's Be a Man, Raised in the Shadow of Cowboys.
Yeah.
So your mother's family's from a ranch. What I hear there is you do not consider yourself a cowboy.
No, I worked on the ranch for a summer and I absolutely loved it. Actually, it was probably the most satisfying job I've ever had in a lot of ways. Writing is, of course, my favorite, but it was a really good experience for me. So it's not that I don't have any respect for the culture at all. I think it's an incredibly noble profession and of course, really necessary as far as providing food for people in the world. So it's not that. It's more the emotional dynamic of the cowboy culture that I'm focused on.
Well, say more about that, about the emotional dynamic.
Well,
and what is, when you say cowboy culture, what are you thinking of,
Russell? Well, you know, this idea that dealing with anger is has to be some kind of, you have to deal with it in a manly way, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're feeling threatened or if you're jealous or even if you're, you know, mad at your wife, there's just this longstanding tradition. And you saw it in all these old movies where the men made sure the women knew their place and needed to be straightened out now and then. You see, I watched a lot of old movies for this book just to remember what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of frightening how often you see guys smacking their women around just to, you know, straighten them up a little bit.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. And the violence as a way of not really solving anything,
exactly,
but certainly,
exactly.
Certainly stirring it up.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And being a woman raised in cowboy culture, I think I hear Be a Man and I also feel the, you know, I feel like I need to be able to carry just as many feed sacks as my brothers. Mm. And I need to be able to do everything that my brothers can do out on the ranch or out, you know. So it's interesting how it's, you know, even our next generations of I should also be able to, you know, carry whatever, you know, mental load, physical load of.
Totally.
That you should be able to endure. Right.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think it affected the women as much or maybe even more so. My mom lost her birth father when she was very young. And I think it impacted her and her siblings a lot more than they were ever able to discuss or address. Stuff like that just lingers and it's difficult to deal with.
Right. Yeah. It's something that's interesting. We talked about the kind of the Western films and this Yellowstone dynamic of people seem so attracted to this cowboy mystique. And in some of the speeches I've given, I talk about and you know, Russell, that I'm on the advertising side here at the network. And so I work with a lot of advertisers. But, you know, one of the most successful and arguably successful advertising campaigns in American history is that of the Marlboro Man.
Sure.
And to me, that's an iconic example of cowboy culture, of who, you know, that's using this image of a rough, rugged cowboy to sell cigarettes.
Yeah.
And that's, it's interesting to see that projected, because I would almost say I feel the same hesitance to I've always struggled to actually wear a cowboy hat when I'm working on the ranch, because, you know, I didn't grow up out there. We went out in summers, but I don't want to claim that I'm something that I'm not. So this element of driving towards authenticity is something that I feel, especially those of us raised in Montana, understand. Now, there are people who come here and their first stop might be Lou Talbert's for their token cowboy hat, but that's certainly not the...
No, I think it really appeals to people, and there's a reason why so many political ads show these guys, you know, who aren't cowboys.
Right. Well, we'll be back in one moment with Voices of Montana. We're talking to Russell Rowland. This is your guest host, Courtney Kibblewhite.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
We're back to Voices of Montana. This is Courtney Kibblewhite, your guest host, and we are talking with Montana author Russell Rowland on a number of books he's written, most recently Be a Man, which is a memoir of Russell's life, and subtitle Raised in the Shadow of Cowboys. Russell, any stories in this book particularly that we should call out and tease the audience to go buy a copy?
Well, one of the interesting stories from my childhood was when I was 10, my dad, who was a school teacher in Sheridan, decided to interview for this job working on a ranch for Peter Kiewit between here in Sheridan near Ranchester. And so he got this job without telling my mother, because my mom did not enjoy living on a ranch as a kid. And so she was thrilled to marry a school teacher.
And, moved to town.
So she was not happy about this move. And it ended up being a very difficult 2 years for them, because Kiewit didn't tell the other ranch hands. There were, I think, four other ranch hands, that my dad was going to be the manager. And I'm not even sure why he gave him that job. I mean, he was a teacher, right? So I don't know if he thought he would be able to manage the personnel better, or I don't know what.
Now, hold up. Had your dad ever worked on a ranch before, or is this
He stacked hay during the summers. So he did have some experience, but nothing like these other guys. So they immediately resented his presence there. And, so for 2 years, they were, it was just a really tough time. Plus, you know, the community was, they weren't unfriendly, but they didn't really welcome us as a family. So, the most amazing story from that time to me has always been the fact that my dad had just enough presence of mind towards the end of that 2 years that he knew he needed help. So he drove to Sheridan to the VA and went in and said, you know, I need to talk to somebody. And the woman behind the counter said, well, what's the matter? And he said, I don't know. I just need to talk to somebody. And she said, well, if you don't know what's wrong, we can't help you.
Oh, right. Okay. Great.
So my dad was, you know, he wasn't a very assertive guy. So he left and broke down and cried on the steps there, because he was completely, at a loss for how to deal with whatever was going on.
And what year would that have been?
It would have been about 69.
Okay.
So, we ended up moving here. That's when we came to Billings.
But a pretty formative time for you to be.
Totally. Yeah. I was 12. And so I was, I, of course, didn't really understand all the stuff that was going on. But my dad was pretty, he was knocked off his, had his feet knocked out from under him for quite a while after that. He had a hard time. He became an alcoholic too. So it was a tough time.
Right. Well, it's interesting. You kind of mentioned this insider, outsider
Right.
Which it's fascinating to me, and you'll have to tell, you've done more, you know, research into the history of Montana, but as I understood, back in the, you know, days when people were homesteading, you would have never turned away anyone to your home that was, you know, driving by, because you had to help each other in order to survive.
Yeah.
So fast forward, you know, 100 years, and it's, you know, well, if you're not from here, then we're, and not that people aren't going to help you, but it's it's an element of.
There's a definite hierarchy, and a lot of it centers around land ownership, I think. You know, the people that owned their places were, they weren't snotty, but they were, you know, they definitely held the ranch hands to a different level. So we weren't really included in a lot of the community stuff as much as the other people.
Interesting.
So we felt it, you know, it was just hard.
Right.
You know?
Wow. And so you finished high school out in Billings then? Or
did I did. You? Yeah. Okay. I went to West High.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. It's fascinating too, to think about, you know, as the farms and ranches become larger, it takes more to run a farm or ranch, and you see people move. There's a bit of urbanization, and it's interesting to consider what the future looks like for many of our small communities that are made up, like you said, of originally homesteaders, maybe landowners, maybe people going through, but there's not a lot of other industries going on in Ranchester, or you know.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I was fortunate enough to learn about, I was doing a podcast for the last few years based on my 56 Counties book. So I've interviewed a lot of people around the state about what they do to make Montana a better place. And you're probably familiar with the Win It Aces.
Yes.
So yeah, I interviewed the people there who are, and I think this is going on a lot more around the state. People who are working together sort of in a co-op way to form more of a feeling of community, so that more of the younger folks want to come back to the community and work on the family place. It's happening a lot more, I think, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Hats off to Laura Nolan and Chris King and the crew out
there. Oh, yeah. They're doing great people.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's kind of a changing notion of what is our identity of a community now. Mm-hmm. So you, in your 56 counties tour, what was your process there? Did you spend a certain amount of time in each community, or?
Yeah. It was pretty much just a day in each county seat. I always started with the museum, because the people that volunteer in the museums always know who the best people to talk to would be, and also the, you know, what local sites I should check out. So I would visit the museum, find out who would be a good person to interview, and I would interview people about their story and the history of the county. And it was just a fabulous trip. I loved every minute of it. I did it in four big loops, so I kind of stretched it out.
So did you see the, you know... It's becoming even more apparent sometimes, the eastern Montana versus western Montana.
Yeah.
Were those differences as apparent as I'd expect?
Definitely. Yeah. They're two different worlds for sure. And I think it's probably even more dramatic now with so many people moving into the Bozeman and Kalispell areas in the last few years with COVID and everything. So... Yeah, it's going to be interesting how that all plays out.
And what about what similarities did you notice going from community to community, all 56 counties? Were there themes that continued to emerge?
There definitely were. You know, I think one thing that's interesting about Montanans is that we are incredibly resilient. Mm-hmm. You know, we're used to the boom and bust economy, and I think there's just sort of a embedded belief in people who live here that things will eventually turn around. I noticed that everywhere, even in the towns that were just dying, you know, there was this undying belief that things would eventually get better as long as you work hard, you know. Mm-hmm. That's sort of another theme, is that, you know, hard work is very much respected and honored in Montana. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's the independent nature of people, the sort of libertarian bent that's really present in all over the state, which has its good and bad side, you know, as far as like people being very resilient and stubborn, but also unwilling to get help. So that right. plays into the mental health part.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting how we evolve to be, you know, where we are, whether it's politics or just our views on how we see the world and,
right.
And how we see that changing. Do you feel like, and personally, I've been committed towards working to reduce the mental health stigma, but do you mm-hmm. feel like that's something that's even possible?
Well, I've seen a lot of hopeful signs, you know, like the stuff you're doing is reminds me of Amber up in Big Timber, who has this organization called Catalyst for Change.
Yes.
Which she's got people all over the state that are helping people find mental health facilities when they need help. And I know that telehealth really grew during the pandemic. And I think it's really reaching out a lot to the ranching community. So a lot more people are, the stigma's sort of fading, I think.
Yeah, well, that's a positive story right there.
Yeah, I think it really is.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the show here in a few minutes. We'll be back after the break, concluding the conversation with Montana author Russell Rowland. For Voices of Montana, this is Courtney Kibblewhite. We're wrapping up Tuesday morning here on Voices of Montana. This is Courtney Kibblewhite, your guest host, alongside Russell Rowland, Montana author, who I'm just dying to get home and make a cup of tea and finish a couple of these books I've started with Russell. He recently wrote Be a Man, Raised in the Shadow of Cowboys, and that's a memoir that's now it's released about a week ago, but it is available. Russell, where can people go to find your books or learn more about you?
Well, I always encourage people to go to the independent bookstores first, but it's also available on Amazon and the usual places. Yep. And you can find out about my books and also the other stuff I'm doing. I do a podcast and a radio show on my website, which is just russellrowland.com.
And when can people and where can they listen to your radio show? Because the radio show is also titled 56 Counties.
It is. Yeah. It's on Yellowstone Public Radio and it's the first Monday of each month.
And tell us more about, okay, at 6:30, first Monday of the month.
Yeah.
What's the content of that if people wanted to?
Well, it's kind of changing off and on through the years. I've started out doing interviews and then I sort of shifted to more of a historical look at Montana. So I've been telling a lot of stories about the history of Montana.
That's exciting. Well, we'll be anxious to go and listen to that as well. I guess as we're wrapping up here, I wondered, thinking of your 56 Counties book and some of these other stories and research that you've done, are there specific people or places that you would want to highlight here in our closing minutes?
Yeah, you know, I think it's always interesting how a single person can influence a community in a big way. I'm thinking of Sarah Calhoun, the Red Ants Pants founder, who started this little women's pants company in White Sulphur Springs, and it has grown into this incredible music festival now. And she also does incredible work providing loans to women who are trying to get businesses started. And I also think I'm thinking about one of my favorite people that I interviewed was a woman named Margaret Ping. Did you ever meet her?
Uh-uh.
So she was a Billings person, but she grew up in Hardin, and her folks owned a clothing store there. And she went on to work for the YWCA for her career.
Oh.
But she ended up inheriting a ton of money from one of her uncles. And she was just an incredible philanthropist. She donated money to a lot of different things. She lived to be 103. So she was just one of the most delightful people to talk to. So,
wow.
People like that are inspiring.
Yes. Yeah. So, Russell, for anyone who's curious out there, what are you working on right now? Or are you willing to talk about it?
Well, I have a new novel that I'm hoping to publish sometime this year that takes place up in the Bakken. So it's a story about the oil boom, but also just how people deal with sudden success. And there's also a Native American character in there. So I'm dealing with some of the issues that are facing that community. So, yeah.
Is the Native American community, is that something you've written about much before? Or will this be the first
time? Not a lot. Yeah. Okay. I've done a lot of interviews with some of my Native American friends, but I haven't really written about it all that much. Yeah. So that one's called Farm to Table.
Right. Okay, well, that's exciting. So perhaps Farm to Table coming out later this year. Russell, we're just so grateful for the time that you've spent, your willingness to put these thoughts to words.
Well, I appreciate you having me. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Russell. That's Russell Rowland. He's the author of 56 Counties, A Montana Journey, In Open Spaces, most recently Be a Man, Raised in the Shadow of Cowboys. And I just have to thank Russell for being willing to put these thoughts to words. As I said, I know when I was a youth struggling with depression and wondering if anyone else was struggling like I was, being able to read about other people's experience certainly was life-changing for me. So anyone who's brave enough to write down those thoughts or even speak to them, I guess I would challenge everyone, if you are able to share your story of your successes and your failures. Anytime we are able to get beyond the weather and push that conversation a little bit further, you just don't know whose life you're going to change or how that's going to impact someone's trajectory. So, Montana, I thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. We'll get this podcast posted. If you do want to share it with somebody who is not able to listen to live on one of our radio stations today, definitely do that. That'll be posted at voicesofmontana.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and find more there. Thank you so much. For Voices of Montana, this is Courtney Kibblewhite.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.